Our next keynote will be introduced by Rabbi Dr. Shlomo Zuckier, a neighbor of ours and Spalo in our shul, and one of the great teachers at Yeshiva University. We're pleased that he's able to add some meaning to our Tisha B'Av today. Yes, Navi Chatasi, as though some requested online, if you're following your own keynotes at home, it's usually listed as keynote number 23, and we'll recite it after Rabbi Zuckier's introduction.
So I was asked to introduce, as Rabbi Zuckier said, the keynote of Es Navi Chatasi Hishmima. My sins have laid waste to my habitation, my mikdash. We don't know who the author of this kina is, but it appears across many different machzorim of Ashkenaz and Sfard. It seems to clearly be a very early kina, and we also know where it draws its content from. It's based on a Gemara in Gittin, Nun Ches Amud Aleph, about the son and daughter of Rabbi Yishmael, the Kohen. When, with Yerushalayim destroyed, both his children are captured and enslaved to two different people. Because of their great beauty, they were seen as good candidates for producing slave children by their masters. These two slave owners are neighbors, and one night they set up these two slaves, who they didn't realize were siblings, in a room with their implicit goal. The two siblings, not realizing who the other was, stay away, not wanting to defile their priestly status with this sort of behavior. Finally, in the morning, when they see who they actually are, they recognize each other, they embrace, and they immediately pass away. The Gemara ends by saying, this is what Yirmiyahu laments in Eicha, Al Eila ani bochia, eini eini yorda mayim. For this I cry, my eyes watering with tears. A quick word about the poetic structure. Each stanza has four clauses, the first three of which rhyme with each other, and the last of which consistently ends with ima, and then leads to the refrain, V'ahima miyamim yamima. I cry regularly, I cry yearly for these things. The writing of this kina is truly exquisite, with much use of biblical language and biblical references, as well as literary references to the Gemara, all within the constraint of keeping the rhyme scheme and the content of that Gemara in Gittin. Sometimes the literary features may be hard to spot, but they can be brilliant when you notice them. For example, it says when the two siblings recognize each other, they say, it says, hoy ach v'hoy achos. At first glance, that they're simply saying, behold my brother, behold my sister. But the word ach actually has another meaning in Hebrew. In Yechezkel Yudvav Aleph, Hashem tells Yechezkel to stamp, to spit, and say ach about all of Am Yisrael's sins that will lead to their destruction. And Targum Yonasan there, Rashi, both say ach means vai or oi, it means woe. So when we look at our piyut and we read hoy ach v'hoy achos, there's actually a double meaning here. Both that the siblings recognize each other, but also an expression of their pain, not only through the word hoy, but through the word ach as well. With that background about the kina and an example of its literary artistry, I wanted to focus quickly on just a couple of themes that lie beneath the surface. First is the focus on human tragedy, individual human tragedy. With a destruction of such a massive scale like this, as with the Holocaust, as Rabbi Genack just said, we think about the large-scale things. We think about the Mikdash, we think about the destruction of Yerushalayim, or we think about a number, 6 million. It's possible to lose sight of the human element sometimes. This story focuses on two people from one family and their tragic circumstance. We see their exploitation and dehumanization, not just that they are treated like slaves, but how they're sent in to mate with each other, like bred like animals. We hear their cries and feel their pain throughout this story, throughout this kina. We can only assume that there were so many, tragically many stories like this, and it's important to think about this as we experience our Tisha B'Av. Another theme we find in this kina is that of a reversal of fortune. How the horrific circumstance is the opposite of things as they truly should be. We see this theme throughout the book of Eicha too. Hazos ha'ir she'yomru klilas yofi, is this destroyed city the one that's said to be full of beauty? Or tishtapechna avnei kodesh barosh kol chutzos, the holy stones are scattered at the head of every street. This idea that the beautiful, wonderful Yerushalayim has been laid waste, has been turned to ruin, an inversion, a reversal. In this kina, we see multiple references to things as the way they should be, in a more ideal state, hiding beneath the surface in the terrible scenario that's actually presented. We find depictions of the brother and sister taken from various places in Tanakh. The sister is described as Kalivana, just like Shir HaShirim's Yafa Kalivana. She's said to be Livushas Shanim, wearing white, which we know, of course, from Esh Eschayil, a sign of beautiful dress. She's compared to the beauty of Ktzia and Yemima, to Eov's daughters. And her brother is similarly described as Yifei Naim, echoing the description of David HaMelech, and as Kashemesh Besakpo, like the sun in its strength, echoing Bara Kachama in Shir HaShirim. These are images of perfection, but that perfection is then misapplied for the most horrific of purposes. Continuing this theme of heavenly bodies, the Kina refers to the plan of these slave owners. They say, Bo unzav gem unchalka bintayim. Let's mate them together and split bivlados kmo kochve shamayim. Split the children like the stars of the heaven. This is a reference to the many children they're hoping to produce, as many and as brilliant as the stars. But of course, this is also a reference to Hashem's promise to Avram. Habet na shamayim osfara kochavim. Look heavenward and count the stars. Koi yezarecha. So will be your descendants. Kimo kochve shamayim, Arkina says. Hashem's promise to Avraham to have beautiful, numerous descendants, the Jewish value of Puruvu, how that is inverted, how that is perverted for the selfish goals of these slave owners. Everything has been turned upside down. This comes into focus where we find the end of the story, where it says, V'nischabku yachad v'nischabaru. The brother and sister hug one another, and then they die on the spot. The closeness between a brother and sister has been turned on its head. Now they're expected by their slave owners to be together, not as siblings, but as mates. Overwhelmed by how what should have been a happy reunion has been perverted, they die on the spot out of shock. And this is the pasuk that is cited directly by the Gemara and somewhat obliquely here in Arkina, the pasuk from Eicha, Al Eila ani bochia, eini eini yorda maim ki rachak mimeni menachem meshiv nafshi. The Kina situates this theme of crying at the beginning of the piece as well. Dimasi al lichayay azrima creates an envelope structure with the same theme that pasuk invoked both at the beginning and the end. But why this pasuk of all psukim? Is it just a reference to crying? I think we also have here the theme of ki rachak mimeni, things being so far away, not only from a menachem, not only from a comforter, but also from the ideal, from the way they should be. Everything has been turned upside down. This shocking story shows us how far in this destruction, the destruction of the Mikdash and so many tragedies over the years, how far things can stray from their ideal. And for this, we cry.